Well, the Gospels record Jesus' encounter with two specific individuals in the city of Jericho. One of these individuals was extremely rich and the other was depressingly poor. One lived a life of privilege, the other a life of poverty. For one, Jericho was a place for acquiring riches. For the other, it was a question of survival. For one, it was about business. For the other, it was about begging. And this morning, we're going to look at one of those individuals, and we're going to see how his story is recorded for us. And as we do so, we're going to learn something for our own benefit and help, which is how to make a fresh start. One of the most, in fact, the most popular and most viewed films in all of history is the Jesus film, which tells the story of Jesus' ministry from Mark's Gospel. And here is a little clip which tells the story of the person that we're thinking about.
Hey, what's happening? What's going on?
Jesus of Nazareth. He's passing by.
Jesus! Oh, Jesus! Son of David, have mercy on me!
Maybe we can do something.
What do you want me to do for you?
I want to see again.
Then see. Your faith has made you well.
I can see. I can see. I can see.
Well, that's how the film portrays it, and this is how the scripture records it from Mark chapter 10, and we're looking at the version from the New Living Translation. Then they reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." "Be quiet," many of the people yelled at him, but he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, "Tell him to come here." So they called the blind man. "Cheer up," they said. "Come on, he's calling you." Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. "My rabbi," the blind man said, "I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Go, for your faith has healed you." Instantly, the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. How to make a fresh start. This story of the healing of Bartimaeus teaches us some important lessons about how each one of us can make a fresh start. And here's the first thing that we need to do, which is to seize the moment. Seize the moment. When he heard that Jesus from Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout out, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." You see, in each of our lives there come golden moments of opportunity, moments of choice, moments of decision, moments which have the potential to alter the entire course of our lives. And such a moment came to Bartimaeus as he sat beside the road begging. I wonder how many days, months, or even years he'd been doing the self-same thing, sitting in the gutter in grinding poverty, hoping against hope that a few people might take pity on him and that he would receive enough handouts to survive another day. What a life. But then he hears the commotion of a crowd coming his way, and his hopes rise. Maybe amongst the crowd will be some generous people who will give him a handout so he can buy some food. But then he discovers the commotion is all about Jesus of Nazareth passing by. Jesus, the miracle worker from Galilee. The carpenter turned rabbi that everyone is talking about. And he thinks to himself, maybe he can help me. I hear he heals all manner of diseases. Maybe he can make blind eyes to see. Seize the moment, Bartimaeus, seize the moment. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. I wonder what you would have done if you had been Bartimaeus, sitting by the roadside, hearing that Jesus was coming along the road. Maybe you would have thought to yourself, well, I'd like to investigate further. I'd like to find out more about this Jesus before I do anything rash. I'll try and listen to his teaching. I'll see what other people are saying. Maybe next time Jesus comes through Jericho, when I thought about it a lot more, I'll try and get his attention. But Bartimaeus, you need to understand that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He's on his way to a cross. He will never pass this way again. Of course, Bartimaeus didn't know that. Only Jesus' disciples knew that, and only they didn't really understand. But for Bartimaeus, it was now or never. This was his only chance. There would never be another. Seize the moment, Bartimaeus. Blind man, seize the moment. I've often heard people say, I'll become a Christian when I'm older. I've still got a lot of living to do. I'm still young. I've got plenty of time. Lots of things I want to do first. When I'm older, I remember speaking to a man once at a funeral. I'd just buried his wife. God had really spoken to him during the service. And afterwards he said to me, Graham, what you said really made me think. I'd like to have a serious chat with you. Sure, I said, when? Just name the day. Well, I've got a few things to sort out first. Okay, that's fine. Well, I'll call you in a little while. We can get together for a coffee. Sure, he said, that would be great. But we never did get together for that coffee because somehow it was never convenient. He never returned my calls or responded to my notes. And today, I don't know where he is. Although I pray for him most days as I cycled past his house most mornings, probably did that for several years, but he never returned my calls, never replied to my notes, and I'm not even sure if he's still alive. He didn't seize the moment. God spoke to him, convicted him, and he let the moment pass. Seize the moment. When Jesus of Nazareth is passing by, you need to call out to him. Don't put it off to another day, because that day may never come. Now Jesus said, no man can come to me unless the Father is drawing him to me. You can't come to Jesus whenever you like, but only when the Father is drawing you. And nobody can boast about tomorrow either. Some people say, I'll come to Christ tomorrow. And the devil is quite happy with that. He doesn't mind what you do as long as it's tomorrow you're planning to do it. Because tomorrow may never come. James warned us about that, didn't he, in chapter 4 of his letter. Look here, you who say, today or tomorrow, we're going to a certain town and we'll stay there a year. We'll do business there and make a profit. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. Here a little while, and then it's gone. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Listen, this is the hour to receive God's favor. Today is the day to be saved. Seize the moment. I wonder if you've seen the film Dead Poets Society. Robin Williams plays this newly appointed teacher in a prestigious American college. And here's a scene where he urges on his students the importance of seizing the moment.
the virgins to make much of time?
Yes, that's the one. Somewhat appropriate, isn't it?
Gather ye rosebuds while ye may, old time is still a-flying, and this same flower that smiles today, tomorrow will be dying.
Thank you, Mr. Pitts. Gather ye rosebuds while ye may. The Latin term for that sentiment is carpe diem. Now, who knows what that means?
Carpe diem. That's seize the day.
Very good, Mr.
Meeks.
Meeks. Another unusual name. Seize the day. Gather ye rosebuds while ye may. Why does the writer use these lines?
Because he's in a hurry.
No. Ding. Thanks for playing anyway. Because we are food for worms, lads. Because believe it or not, each and every one of us in this room is one day going to stop breathing, turn cold, and die. I'd like you to step forward over here and peruse some of the faces from the past. You've walked past them many times, but I don't think you've really looked at them. They're not that different from you, are they? Same haircuts, full of hormones, just like you. Invincible, just like you feel. The world is their oyster. They believe they're destined for great things, just like many of you. Their eyes are full of hope, just like you. Did they wait until it was too late to make from their lives even one iota of what they were capable? Because you see, gentlemen, these boys are now fertilizing daffodils. But if you listen real close, you can hear them whisper their legacy to you. Go on, lean in. Listen. You hear it?
Seize the day, boys. Make your lives extraordinary. We're only here for a short space of time, and we need to take the opportunities that God gives us. And there are moments when Jesus is very close, wants to speak to us, wants to touch our lives, wants to bring healing, wants to give us direction and guidance. If you want to make a fresh start, first of all, you need to seize the moment when it comes. Maybe today, for you, is a moment which you need to seize. Here's the second thing: to tame your fear. To tame your fear. The crowd said, "Be quiet." They yelled at him, but he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Barnabas received no encouragement whatsoever from the crowd. They told him to shut up. They didn't want Jesus' impression of their beautiful city to be spoiled by the sights and sounds of a filthy beggar. A beggar crying for mercy. Shut up! Keep quiet! Must have been very intimidating for Barnabas. For Bartimaeus, I should say. Crowds can be very intimidating, can't they? Don't expect any encouragement from the crowd. It was a crowd that wanted to crucify Jesus. If you listen to the crowd, you'll be paralyzed by fear. Oh, you don't believe all that Jesus stuff, do you? All that superstitious nonsense. You're not one of those Jesus freaks, are you? One of those born-again Christians, Bible basher, sky pilot. Anyway, if there was a Jesus, he wouldn't be interested in people like you. Bartimaeus had a choice. Would he listen to this crowd and be intimidated by them and keep quiet, or would he follow his heart? Would he risk being ignored or even dismissed by Jesus? Would he risk the failure of rejection? His pleas of mercy going unheeded. What if it didn't work? What if he had the one kind of blindness that Jesus couldn't heal? Wouldn't it be more sensible just to sit quietly, not make a fuss, and just hope that maybe Jesus would notice him anyway? After all, people did say he was the Messiah. Bartimaeus, tame those fears. Don't give way to fear and doubt. Take the risk. What have you got to lose? It's fear that stops people coming to Christ. What if it doesn't work? What if when I commit my life to Christ, nothing happens and I don't feel any different? What if Jesus doesn't accept me? What if my friends or family don't approve? What if they make fun of me at school or at work or at college? Will you be paralyzed by fear? Or will you risk it all on Jesus? Jesus said, I'll never turn away anyone who comes to me. So tame your fears and look to Jesus to meet your need. Number three, announce your faith. Announce your faith. Bartimaeus cried out, Son of David, have mercy on me. In effect, he was saying, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of David, the Messiah. That's what the term Son of David means. It's a messianic title. Bartimaeus was saying, Jesus, I believe you can help me. You can give me what I really need. And Jesus says to him, what do you want me to do for you? Again, I wonder what you or I would have said if we had been Bartimaeus at that moment. Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? Seems an extraordinary question because it seems obvious, doesn't it? But Bartimaeus could have asked for a handout, some money for a meal. He could have asked for a cushion to sit on to make himself more comfortable in the gutter. He could have said, well, my clothes are a bit ragged. I could do with a new suit. Or a white stick would be really helpful. Even a guide dog. No, he didn't say any of those things. He said, Jesus, I want to see. And you can make it happen. He announced his faith. He risked ridicule and rejection and failure. Jesus, I believe you can do this. He wasn't ashamed or embarrassed to call out to Jesus and to declare his faith in front of the crowd. I find it interesting that the crowd that a few minutes ago were telling Bartimaeus to shut up and keep quiet, when they discover that Jesus is interested in him, suddenly they're telling him to cheer up. That's why you should never listen to the crowd. Because Palm Sunday can give way to Good Friday. Hosanna to the Son of David can give way to crucify him. If you listen to the crowd, you'll be led up all kinds of garden paths. But Bartimaeus was prepared to come out with it and express his faith in Jesus, and he didn't care who heard it. Jesus, you're the Messiah. I need your healing touch on my life. Have mercy on me. I want to see. And I think he teaches us here that you can't be a secret disciple. If you believe in Jesus, you can't keep quiet about it. Sooner or later, you have to go public. I'm surprised sometimes when I hear people talking about how they suddenly discovered somebody at work was a Christian. You know, people who are Christians themselves and going to church every Sunday wouldn't miss church on a Sunday for all the world. And then they discover somebody else at work is a Christian. And I'm thinking, why is it taking you so many years to discover that you're both Christians? Don't you ever talk about it at work? When other people are saying what they did at the weekend and they were getting trolleyed or whatever the expression is and drunk out of their minds or whatever it might be. You just sit there quiet and don't say anything. Announce your faith. Go public. Maybe there's somebody here, you believe in Jesus, you've been coming to this church for I don't know how long, but you've never been baptized. You've never actually gone public with your faith. It's time to do it. It's time to step up to the plate. There are no secret disciples in the kingdom of God. Even Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night, eventually, after Jesus was crucified, came up out into the open to declare his faith in Jesus. Go public. I think I've probably said enough about that. We're not going to talk about prayer because of time. But the fourth thing here that we need to do to make a fresh start is to receive God's grace. To receive God's grace. Verse 52. Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has healed you." And instantly the blind man could see. All it took was a word from Jesus and Bartimaeus was healed. He didn't have to bring anything to Jesus except his need. Didn't have to earn the grace of God, didn't deserve it, didn't have to pay for it. He just had to believe and to receive. That's what grace is, isn't it? It's a gift. God doesn't give us what we deserve, he gives us what we don't deserve. And that applies to salvation as much as it does to healing. For we have been saved by grace, through faith, that not of ourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any should boast. I love that old hymn, we don't sing it anymore, "Rock of Ages, cleft o'er me, let me hide myself in thee." And one of the little stanzas in it says, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Whoever shall call on the name of the Lord will be saved." Bartimaeus called, and he was saved. He wasn't only healed, he was saved. What do I have to do to be saved, Graham? Well, I'm sure you're taught well enough at Lancing Tab to know the answer to that. But just in case anyone is in any doubt, believe Jesus is who he says he is, and that he will do what he promises to do. Call out to him in prayer and receive him into your life by faith. Let him change you from the inside out. Make the wonderful discovery that Paul made, that the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. It's wonderful that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But almost more wonderful than that is the Son of God loved me, gave himself for me, and I know what I'm like, but he loved me enough to go to the cross for me. Learn for yourself by personal experience that when anyone becomes a Christian, they become a brand new person inside. The old life has gone and a new life has come. Receive the grace of God. If you've never received the grace of healing before, receive God's grace and commit your life to Christ this morning. Then finally, number 5, take the next step. Take the next step. What is the next step? Bartimaeus followed Jesus down the road. Bartimaeus, now he had his sight, was never ever going to let Jesus out of his sight. What better person to look at and to follow than Jesus? He followed Jesus down the road. You know, one of the earliest descriptions of the Christian life is the way. The way. The Christian life is a momentary decision. It is a crisis moment, but a crisis that doesn't need to a process becomes an abscess. The Christian life is something that you begin at a moment in time when you commit your life to Jesus and express your faith in him and make it public, but then it becomes a way of life, a pilgrimage, a journey through life. And when you call out to Jesus, it's just the beginning of the journey. The adventure is about to begin. An adventure, as I've discovered, that takes you into all kinds of situations and challenges and opportunities, gives you experiences you've never imagined you could have. I've had the privilege of being in Christian ministry for over 40 years now, and it's been a wonderful, scary, exhilarating roller coaster ride of a life. I've been all over the world to all kinds of countries and places that some of us have never even heard of. And there I've discovered believers in Jesus have welcomed me and taken me to their hearts, and I've had the opportunity to share and preach the gospel in all kinds of places and situations. Just a few weeks ago I was in India. A couple of months before that I was in Egypt, going back to India probably in August, Brazil in November, Egypt again next year. Like Richard, you know, Richard's all over the place, isn't he? Where else could you get that kind of fun? Except following and serving and loving Jesus. Why would you want to do anything else? It's a wonderful roller coaster ride. Experiences you never dreamed of or imagined, where you prove and discover the grace of God is sufficient for any circumstance. All you need to do is to take the next step. Take the next step. So, what's the next step for you? What's the next step for you? It might be an Alpha course. Maybe you've never done an Alpha course. You're just at the beginning of the journey of learning about Jesus. You need to get some help. Or to give your life to Christ. Has there ever been a time or a moment or a phase in your life where you have consciously and deliberately committed yourself to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Maybe you're thinking to yourself, well, Graham, I'm not really sure about it. Well, let me help you. If you're not sure, you haven't. And I can help you. After the service, I'll be by the door there. I'd love to just share with you very simply how you can commit your life to Jesus and be sure of your relationship with him now and your relationship with him for eternity. It would be my greatest joy and delight to help you in that way. Maybe there are things you need to put right in your life. A habit you need to break. Someone you need to apologize to. Something you borrowed that you need to give back. I remember one time I picked up my local free newspaper, and on the front page there was a story of a crime that had been committed just down the road from where we live. And as I read the story, I thought, I think I know who this is. And it was a member of our congregation. So I phoned him and I said, Andy, I read this in the paper. Do you know anything about that? That wasn't you, was it? He said, well, actually it was. Do you think we need to talk about it? He said, I think we probably do. So I went round to see him. We chatted about it. He told me what had happened. And I said, well, what do you think would be the right thing to do? He said, well, I think I need to go and confess to the police. So I took him down to the police station and I explained who I was and who this person was and that he had a crime to confess to. And I sat in with him while he made a statement to the police. I sat in with him while he made his statement, and then I had to leave him because he was remanded in custody and served a custodial sentence. But he wanted to put things right. He's with the Lord now. He's gone to glory. But who knows, if he hadn't put things right, what his eternal destiny would be. We need to put things right where it's necessary. Perhaps you've never had a regular Bible reading habit. You could start today. One of the things I do is, Nikki Gumbel, who wrote the Alpha Course, has an online 1 year Bible. And you can sign up for it, doesn't cost you anything. And then each day in the morning, you get an email from Nikki Gumbel, and you click on a link and it will give you the Bible readings for that day. A Psalm or Proverb, Old Testament reading, New Testament reading, and he gives you some comments to guide you through the readings. It comes to your inbox every day. Great way to start reading the Bible. If you've never read through the Bible in a year, you could start today. May, whatever it is today. Is it the 4th? Yeah. So that by May the 3rd next year, you would have read right through the Bible. 20 minutes a day. You could do that, couldn't you, if you've never done it before? Learn how to pray. If you don't know how to pray, ask your small group leader or someone in the church, a more mature Christian, to help you get started. to go public with your faith, maybe at work or at home, to get baptized, to get off the bench and get onto the field and start getting involved in the game, serve in some way in the church. Nicky Gumbel, again, he said that most football matches are rather like churches. In a football match, there are 22 players desperately in need of a rest, being watched by 22,000 people desperately in need of some exercise. True, isn't it? So maybe you're someone who needs to get out of the stands and get on the pitch and offer to serve in some way. It's the best way of growing spiritually, I believe, beginning to serve and going out of your comfort zone. Maybe you are not a church member yet. You've been coming long enough, for heaven's sake. Isn't it time you actually said, I want to be committed to Lancing Tower, because these are my people, these are my brothers and sisters, this is my family, this is where I belong, and so I'm not going to stop pussyfooting around, and I'm going to commit myself to membership. And to sum it all up, tell God you're available for anything, anytime, anywhere, and see what happens. It will be the greatest adventure of your life. How do you make a fresh start? We nearly had it there. Oh, there it is. Seize the moment. Take the opportunity. Perhaps this morning is your moment with God. Tame your fears. Don't listen to the crowd who say no. Don't listen to the inner voice that says, don't be a fool. Don't make a fool of yourself. Announce your faith. Go public with the fact that you're a follower of Jesus Christ. Receive God's grace, all that you need to live the Christian life from this moment on. And take the next step. Whatever God's spoken to you about, be sure that you do it. Rosemary's going